This is the Bible News Prophecy Program, bringing you news and analysis of world events in the light of Bible prophecy. The following program is brought to you by the Continuing Church of God.
Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, although there is probably more than one, what Bible prophecy might describe some of the conditions we see in the world today?
Well, in Matthew 24, verses 7 to 8, Jesus prophesied, nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, there'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, all these are the beginning of sorrows. In Mark's account of it, he added the word troubles, Mark 13, 8. There'll be earthquakes in various places, and there'll be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows.
There are a lot of worldly sorrows present in those two verses. Which one are you thinking of at this moment?
I thought we'd talk about earthquakes, because they've been causing a lot of troubles in the last month or so. We had the one in Indonesia, it was 7.7. It was very destructive. We had one in Colombia. It was 7.4 on a Richter scale. Destructive. Hundreds were killed, at least, maybe even more. We had a 6.8 in Japan, 6.7 in Peru. Oh, there was also a 6.9 in Indonesia. And it was less damaging, but it still was an issue. The Philippines had one for 6.3, very strong. And then Mexico had a 7.3. And someplace called the Kermadec Islands had 6.3. But official sources, by the way, say there's nothing to be concerned about, that these have nothing to do with each other, and they're basically fairly normal.
Well, if there's nothing to be concerned about, would those earthquakes really be considered the beginning of sorrows?
Well, what if experts are wrong? I want to read a long passage about this kind of stuff from 2 Peter 3. So he wrote, Apostle Peter wrote, "Beloved, I now write you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken of before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where's the promises coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all these things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Verse 5. "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens that were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition on ungodly men." Verse 8, "Beloved, don't forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." Now, I'm going to stop quoting him for a second, because that's one of the reasons why things don't happen as quickly as we want, because God's got a plan and a time frame. Anyway, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night." It means most people won't know it. "In which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works which in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider the long-suffering of our Lord as salvation." So he's telling us God's got a plan for us. But he's also saying that there are scoffers who declare that what been going on is normal and isn't prophetic.
Is it possible that God was not referring to scoffers of earthquakes when he inspired Peter?
Perhaps, maybe he was. Now, speaking of earthquakes, I saw this one. Here's a headline. New research finds the San Andreas Fault is slipping faster than previously thought. So just a week after a 3.9 magnitude earthquake rocked the Hayward Fault in Oakland, new research is highlighting the danger of this on the San Andreas Fault. Researchers at San Jose State University found that the fault is slipping faster than previously thought. The professor Kim Blisnewick spoke with ABC Eyewitness News about this and said, "And so the great aspect of this work is that it's the rate at which the landform preserves previous earthquakes along the fault. And the rate is similar to the way we get in San Andreas Fault to the North Coast sections. But prior to this work with my colleagues, we did, the rate appears not to, to decrease along the San Andreas Fault, but it appears to be constant over this 10,000-year window we're able to document," end quote. Anyway, this matters because faults that move faster generally produce earthquakes more frequently. Mm-hmm. And so just the research said, we know that we live on this plate boundary, and we've seen these earthquakes in Japan and Colombia. Are we going to have an earthquake in California? If so, we should be prepared. I don't think the idea that the slip rates are constant among the fault we studied, because it'll be a big surprise to people. We just didn't have that data before. So they're saying, hey, look, we're learning new stuff. So no matter what the experts seem to think about something, they find, oh, maybe they didn't know. Oh, sorry, we didn't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, for decades, people in California have been worried about the day the big one would hit. Now seismologists are saying the situation might be worse than they thought.
So is the big one that's coming to California mentioned in the Bible?
There'll likely be an extremely big one in California, but I don't think it's as big as one that's prophesied to come. Now, in addition to mentions in the gospel accounts, Jesus also taught about earthquakes in the book of Revelation. Some people call the book of the Apocalypse. And what's interesting about Revelation is in there, the term earthquake is always singular, as opposed to what Jesus was talking about with the beginning of sorrows when he was talking on the Mount of Olives. Anyway, the first earthquake that's mentioned in Revelation is Revelation 8:5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, threw it on the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake.
Well, why is this earthquake not one of those mentioned in the beginning of sorrows?
Because this particular earthquake doesn't happen until after the Great Tribulation begins, and it's prior to the start of the Great Day of the Lord. And so when this one happens, this will be an apocalyptic one. Now, the next mentioned one in sequence comes in Revelation chapter 11, starting verse 11. This after the, got to do with the two witnesses. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended into heaven with a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour, there's a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God of heaven.
So this is a different earthquake than the one in Revelation 8:5?
Yes. And this seems to be a localized quake that occurs near the end of the day of the Lord. Next one mentioned is in verse 19 of chapter 11. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the Ark of the Covenant was seen in his temple. So we know that's where the true Ark of the Covenant is. Whether it's a physical on earth, we don't know for sure. Anyway, it may be that this earthquake will coincide with the resurrection of Christians, called the first resurrection in Revelation 20, verse 5.
So is this earthquake the biggest one mentioned in the Bible?
No, there's another one that will be the biggest one. Now, you're talking about California, you're talking about the big one. Now, according to the experts, we can't get one on the San Andreas Fault any bigger than a 7.5 or maybe 8.5, they say, because how it's laid out. Well, maybe they're wrong. But the fact is, if we had an 8.5 in California, that would really, really be a big one and really affect things. Now, according to the Roman historian Pliny the Elder, there was something called the Lydia earthquake in the year 17. That was the greatest earthquake in human memory. But the real big one in the Bible is in Revelation 16, verses 18 to 20. It says, "And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, with such a mighty and great earthquake has not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. The great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of fierce of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." So this earthquake is so big that cities and nations are going to fall, mountains are leveled, islands fled away. Now, there are groups of people called preterists, by the way. You said all this stuff in Revelation has already happened. Nonsense. We have not had this earthquake. Okay, if anyone tries to tell you the stuff in Revelation is over, it's happened, they're missing what the Bible actually teaches. The earthquake of Revelation 16 is going to be bigger than what most experts think is possible. Now, this could have to do, you know, God may do it one way, but, you know, we've been seeing changes in Earth's core and magnetic fields. God may use those to trigger it. And this biggest of all earthquakes seems to take place near the end of the day of the Lord and probably can't happen prior to 2033. There's another earthquake that's prophesied in the Bible in Ezekiel 38:19. But this particular one, it has to do with something happens 1,000 years after Jesus returns. And so this is not the great one of Revelation 16. And so that one's not for our time, even though certain prophecy watchers from the Protestant side think it will be.
What advice would God give scoffers and non-scoffers alike?
Well, what Haggai 1:5 says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord, consider your ways." Sadly, most now won't consider the ways, and they'll tend to ignore increased earthquakes. But I want to talk about a personal experience with earthquakes. Okay, I moved to California in 1976 from the state of Michigan. And I actually saw the movie Earthquake before I came here, but didn't notice any quakes for the longest time. So I thought everything was, you know, fine. And one day I was up bent over working on some wires. And while I'm doing this, I thought I got dizzy because the walls looked like they were shaking. Walls don't shake. And then finally, I found out it was an earthquake. And others had noticed the same thing. So that was my first earthquake. So why is that at all relevant? Because I didn't know what it was. And a lot of people don't know the beginning of sorrows have started. Mm-hmm. And they discount things like earthquakes and whatever that's going on. Just like, I didn't think it was an earthquake. I didn't know what an earthquake was. I just thought, well, okay, just maybe it's because I was bent over and I went back. I was a young man, so you wouldn't think I was getting dizzy, but maybe they caused it. So one of my point, though, is people discount stuff. Nah, that doesn't count. Oh, that's not that important. That doesn't matter. Now, what we should be doing, because you ask, you know, what should people be doing? Haggai says, you know, God says, consider your ways. But we're supposed to, according to Jesus, pray for God's kingdom to come, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 10. But I want to read something else that Jesus said that everybody should be doing. Luke 21, verse 36. Jesus said, "Watch therefore and pray." So you're watching what's going on. So pay attention to this stuff. "And pray always that you'll be counted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Now, you're not praying for your personal protection. For you to be worthy, you've got to change. And hopefully, people are doing that. Are you doing that?
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.
This Bible News Prophecy Program was sponsored by the Continuing Church of God. For more information, including access to our free literature, visit BibleNewsProphecy.net or www.ccog.org. You can also reach us by email. Our address is Bible News Prophecy, at gmail.com.